Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello, welcome in Thursday edition of the show, which means Lee Kelly is with me in studio. Glad you're with us today. Don't forget, we do this each weekday, 11 a.m. You can catch the replay most days at 3 o'clock. It's coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective. A lot to get to. Of course, IU Duke, still some fallout from that game, some post-game chatter, you could say. And, of course, the Hoosiers have to turn around very quickly. They've got to get ready for two Big Ten contests coming up, which is crazy, Lee Kelly, to talk about. I've said this before, and I'm sure I'll say it again, but it's hard to think about conference basketball in the early part of the season. Early December, it's time for IU Louisville, IU Butler, some of those type of games, IU Duke, but it's hard to get used. I'm not opposed to it. I'm really not opposed to a 20-game Big Ten schedule, but it just is different, these early season Big Ten games. And I tell you what, for coaches, if you can find a way to win your two early Big Ten games, that can really, I mean, it's not going to win the conference for you. It's not going to be some huge boost down the stretch, but it can give you an early momentum if you can play the rest of your non-conference games and get basically to, I think, January 2 or 3, which is when the full Big Ten schedule begins. But if you can find a way, specifically talking about Indiana here in the Big Ten, if they can find a way to get two wins coming up against Northwestern and Penn State and get to a 2-0 jump on conference play, even though there's plenty to fix with this team, it could be a real benefit. And I was thinking last night, watching Michigan play North Carolina, which is something else I want to talk about, you know, Michigan and Purdue are one of each team's early season conference games. I would much rather, no disrespect to Northwestern or Penn State, but I would much rather see Indiana play those two people, possibly get those two early wins and save the Michigans and the Purdues and the big games for down the road a bit when that gauntlet of a Big Ten schedule I know is tough, but I don't know that Indiana's ready to turn around after that Duke loss and take on someone the caliber, especially of Michigan. So very important time coming. It's hard, I guess, every show, every week, we probably could say this is a very important week for IU basketball. Last week, I said it was very important because it was a gear-up week for the Duke game and for these Big Ten games. So, yes, it's you want to win every game, and you've always got to think, even though we are in late November and early December forthcoming, you've got to think about March Madness and the NCAA tournament. It's just part of the way college basketball works. But some very important times coming up for this Indiana team, I think, with these two Big Ten games. And the good news is, I feel like even though Indiana not playing their best basketball yet of this young season, these are two games Indiana can win.
Yeah, I agree. And I think the big thing with IU right now is having some confidence. You go to Duke, and I'm sure while the game was going on and shortly after the game, they had a very, very low self-esteem. And a lot of teams are going to have low self-esteem after playing Duke this year.
Yeah, no question about that.
They're awfully good. I mean, let's face it, Duke, one of the premier teams in the country. But I think if IU can pick up a couple of wins here, get their confidence back, I think things will be fine. Are they as talented as Duke? No, but I don't think anybody else in the country is either. Other teams have good teams. Michigan impressed the heck out of me last night the way they played. But I think it's just important for IU to pick up some wins and gain some confidence.
The ACC Big Ten Challenge ends at a 7-7 deadlock, if I counted it up correctly. Is that right?
That is correct.
And let's talk about that Michigan game. I've said this before. I you know, with everything going on, I don't get a chance to just sit down and dwell on a lot of college basketball like I probably would like. And like I know at times, you, retired former teacher, Mr. Kelly, of mine, get the opportunity to do. But I made it a point last night. I'm going to be available by 9:30 to watch that Michigan-North Carolina game because I wanted to see Michigan. I think they're really good. I think they could be at the top of the conference. Wanted to see how maybe Indiana could match up with them. And I just think it's a big game. It was just one of those games I wanted to see. I didn't make it at 9:30. I made it about 9:45, but I got to see most of the game. Wow. Michigan is good. They played really good. Offense has always been strong for Michigan with Coach Beilein. The defense, I thought, looked really good as well. North Carolina's got some weapons, too, and they seem to have some bad moments and really found themselves down pretty quickly. But Michigan is really good. I left that game last night, or I should say I finished watching that game last night, very impressed and scary, really, how good I think Michigan could wind up being this season. They've got some players back. They've got some young talent that Matthews that considered heavily. The NBA made a great decision by going back to Michigan, and it seems to be paying off for him and the team right now.
And he's got a lot of talent around him. I mean, I wasn't sure what to expect because I do not follow the recruiting as much as you guys do on the show and in other ways. So I did not know they had picked up this young man who initially I thought must be from Eastern Europe, only to find out he's from Canada. But
you want to take a stab at pronouncing his name?
I had it last night and I've already forgotten. I listened to them and finally picked it up. But the young man they have in the middle, I knew they lost Mo Wagner from last year. I thought, well, they'll be down a little bit. This young man came in, plays great defense. They're encouraging to shoot the three more. He's got a nice move around the bat. They've just got a really nice ball club, and, man, they play well together.
And, again, one of those early Big Ten games, I think Friday, it's Michigan and Purdue. So, again, Purdue will have their hands full. And Purdue's maybe had, I know they lost a very tough one last night in the ACC Big Ten.
Should have won
yes,
that game.
Yes, and that will be an interesting game. I think Michigan is clearly better than Purdue, but still, that's a tough early season Big Ten game. I'm glad Indiana gets the Penn State and gets the Northwestern in these first two games. So let's take a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Joining us here in segment one, or I shouldn't say joining us, but we'll have our Hoosier headlines, our news of the day presented by Hoopster Sports Grill. Segment two, Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. He is with us, presented by CC Power Sports. Alex and I and Lee will talk IU Duke. We'll kind of conclude our chat on that. I think we have discussed that game from just about every angle possible, and we'll close that out today with Alex as well. Then we'll get ready for IU, Penn State, IU Northwestern, the next two games for Indiana forthcoming that are big, and talk some other things about injuries. And also want to talk a little bit of recruiting with Trace Jackson Davis with Alex when he joins us in our next segment. Also, later in the program, Lee Kelly and I on Thursdays do a high school basketball update during the season, a way to get a lot of names, give you the schedule, some of the big games, some of our thoughts, some of our predictions as well for the high school season. And last year it was obviously a blast to follow the local scene, some of the good teams we had, and of course everything was highlighted by Romeo. We want to continue that segment this year because while we don't have a Romeo Langford, and I'm not sure when we'll have one again, to be quite honest, we do want to keep up the great coverage of high school basketball and tell you about some of these big performances and tell you about some of the big matchups this weekend and tell you our thoughts on some of the top teams. And there are some very exciting storylines to follow. We will do this each Thursday when Lee is with me in the later part of the program. So if high school basketball is your thing, if you enjoy following what's going on in Southern Indiana, you're looking forward to the big games now that high school hoops is back, you'll want to make sure you lock it in with us Thursdays, for our high school basketball update each week. That's a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll receive $1 off your boxed lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. It's time now for the Hoosier Headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. And I want to start off today with headline number one, Lee, about the IU women's team. They were victorious 87-73 over Wake Forest in the ACC Big Ten Challenge game. Indiana women win their first big ACC Big Ten Challenge game since 2015. It was on the road as well. This team is off to a great start. And, of course, as I say that, I've lost the record. I had it right in front of me. But they are off to a great start. And coming off of a women's NIT championship, which was a really fun way for their program to end the season a year ago, you want to see if they can continue that success, continue down that path. And so far, Lee, they've been able to do so. Neat to see the women. Terry Morin, a Seymour native, Southern Indiana native as well. Neat to see them do well. And they're doing it with Allie Patberg from Columbus North, who was a terrific high school player, went to Notre Dame, transferred back to Indiana. And they're doing it with Jalen Penn out of Louisville as well, who has come on strong for the IU women's team this year.
Yeah, Indiana produces a great many girls basketball players, women's basketball players, and if Indiana can IU can tap into that recruiting base, they can have a nice ball club year after year, especially when you throw in a few from other states. But Indiana, through the years, we've had a chance to see some of the games, whether it be the All-Star games in the summer or the state championships. They have some outstanding talent. We've had some locally as well, and Terry doing a nice job at IU. Hopefully she can tap into that.
And it's 6-0, 6-0 the start. That is definitely for IU women's basketball a great start. Allie Patberg, 30 points last night. Jalen Penn, 25 points. That's quite a duo that they've been able to put together, at least so far early in the season. Also, we've got to talk a little bit about Jeff Brohm. He turns down the U of L job. Classes at Trinity canceled today. Threats made on the campus, and I think it started maybe as a joke. I know they're having a press conference about it right now, but I think maybe it started as a joke on social media. There are certain things in today's time that we understand, or most of us understand, you cannot joke about. What may have been able to be said 20 or 30 years ago when it comes to schools and school grounds and safety, obviously, you got to be very careful, whether it's joking, whether it's in person, social media, whatever. But I think that does sum up in a way how big of a blow this is for U of L and for U of L fans, because this was their guy. This was someone that is Louisville bred. He's Louisville made. His name is active in the city still because of his family, and would have made perfect sense, I think, for the U of L football program, especially given their struggles now. He seems like the guy to come back and maybe have the best chance to clean this mess up in the fastest way possible. With him turning the job down and staying at Purdue, there's been that thought out there, and I've heard it because I like Jeff Brohm. I really do as a person and as a coach, and I have followed him at every stop that he's been at, and I am concerned about what he will do from an IU perspective with the Purdue program. And there's been people, and I've heard this because I do mention his name, that, oh, you really like him, and his team only won one more game than IU's, and I understand that. There wasn't, I don't think, a ton of separation between the two football programs right now, but it's the trajectory that maybe they're on. It's the recruiting successes that they're having. It's the players like Rondale Moore that they're landing that will help attract other great players. And Indiana still has a lot of potential as a football program, and I'm not at all downgrading them in any means. But I think from an IU perspective, if you're a football fan, if you want to see this program in Bloomington get to bowl games each and every year, your path of resistance is a little easier if Jeff Brohm or someone of his likeness with his football intelligence, with his recruiting ability, it's a little easier, I think, to get the job done with Indiana guys. You mentioned for the women's program keeping the best college basketball women's players in state. That's why they're having some success this year. Same can be said for football, obviously. And Tom Allen has done well so far getting Indiana guys to come to IU. Purdue has done okay, and Purdue is doing better, and Purdue has been able to get some other guys as well. But from an IU perspective, this was probably, and I think Greg Doyle said this, probably one of the more interesting or important things that will happen in the offseason, even for IU, would be, does Jeff Brohm leave Purdue and go to Louisville, or does he stay at Purdue and maybe go on to build a really good program here in the near future?
You know, and I, listening to a few shows this morning, a couple of comments last night, a lot of people are saying, well, the only reason he stayed is Mitch Daniels bumped up his salary to $6 million. I'm sure that had a bearing. But I personally think Purdue is a good job. I think the Big Ten Conference still has some meaning. And I just think when it came right down to it, from the high school perspective, I've been around guys who looked at job openings at their alma mater, and they lived in that town. And the comment that I heard constantly is, think about if you really want this head coaching job, because you've got to live in this town, whether you're successful or not. And if you're successful, everybody pats you on the back, tells you how wonderful you are. And if you don't have the success they think you should have, then it goes the other way. With Jeff Brohm, I think he would have been successful at U of L. Would he ever been able to have matched what the fans thought he should do? Because I heard people already talking about, well, you know, we're going to be in the top 10 and we're going to do this. And that's a tough road to go. So I think for the Brohm family, he probably made the best move, especially when they bumped up the salary to $6 million. I think they were talking about Ohio State pays 7.6 and Michigan pays 7.5. So he moved into that upper echelon in the Big Ten coaching salaries in just his second year.
And again, I think it's a big keep for Purdue, no question about it. And we can't predict any of this stuff. How he would have done at Louisville or how he will do at Purdue. But, again, I think there's a lot of things that point to reasons why he has the opportunity to continue building what he's got started, the improvements that he's made. And, again, you think that Rondale Moore and some of the things he's been able to do, some of the honors that he's receiving even over the last week or so will not help moving forward as well. I think it will. So,
going to. David Bell's name from Warren Central mentioned prominently as a person that probably is leaning toward Purdue. So he's getting some good kids to come there.
Going to be really interesting to follow, but a big keep for Purdue, I believe, keeping Jeff Brohm as their head coach. I want a final headline before we close out. Just take a look at the ACC Big Ten Challenge yesterday. We talked a lot about the very impressive win Michigan had. It was 84-67 over North Carolina. But a couple of other things. You mentioned, Lee, that Purdue should have won. Yeah. They lost 73-72 on the road at Florida State. Northwestern was a winner last night over Georgia Tech, 67-61. Virginia with a nice win at Maryland. Maryland's a solid team, 76-71. Former Mr. Basketball, Kyle Guy, knocking down a lot of threes in that ball game. And here was a surprise. Syracuse, 72. Ohio State, 62. The game was in Columbus, Ohio. I've bragged on Ohio State a lot as far as maybe being a little bit of a surprise as well in the Big Ten Conference, and they did not handle Syracuse at home as well as I thought they might. Rutgers also got a win last night, 57-54 over Miami of Florida. Love the ACC Big Ten Challenge. Wish I could do what I think you probably did, and that's watch almost every game. That at least you could watch it not at the same time. But great event. I would like to see Indiana not get paired up with Duke, especially when they're at this level and Indiana's still, I don't want to call them rebuilding, but building to that level, I think IU fans hope. But a lot of great matchups can come between those two conferences, some games that really make sense, and that is a great way to begin this early part of the season.
And a lot of the games so very close, the final score may not indicate it always, but a lot of those games were right down to the wire. Purdue led almost the entire second half, if not the entire second half, until the last 15 seconds of the game. So it was good basketball to watch. I was disappointed in Ohio State because I knew they were undefeated going in, had gotten off to a great start, and just did not play well the second half when I saw the most part that I saw. But a lot of good talent, a lot of good team. Big Ten's going to be fun to watch this year. It was just an early season way to spend a good two or three nights for me in front of the TV.
That's a look at the headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill with fresh made-to-order food, a great selection of craft brews, and the best sports atmosphere around. Hoopsters has karaoke and a DJ on Friday nights, a live band on Saturday night as well. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. We'll head to a quick break. We'll come back with Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall, presented by CC Power Sports. We also have our first high school basketball update of the season ahead. Lee and I will take a look at the top performers so far this season, some of the top teams so far this season, and things to watch this weekend in high school basketball. That all comes your way here in the remainder of this hour. You're listening to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Welcome back. Matt Dennison, Lee Kelly with you as well here on the Hoosier Report. Good time to talk IU basketball with Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall, presented by CC Power Sports. Obviously, Indiana coming off of a tough performance at Duke earlier this week. And most importantly, now they're getting ready for two Big Ten Conference games early in the season before they head back to non-conference play until the full part of the Big Ten schedule starts. Our chat with Alex each week is presented by CC Power Sports. They have two locations serving Indiana and Kentucky. One is in Clarksville. That's the mothership store, so to speak. They carry Indian, Victory, Slingshot, Polaris, Can-Am, Sea-Doo, Honda, KTM, Yamaha, Kawasaki, and Suzuki. The Louisville store, right off of Interstate 65 in southern Jefferson County, carries Kawasaki, Can-Am, Sea-Doo, Yamaha, and Suzuki. New riders welcome, and of course, racers welcome at CC Power Sports. Alex, I guess if you're looking for good news coming out of the Duke loss, and it was really a beatdown in many ways, is that early in the game, when things got out of control, especially in that first half, IU in many ways beat themselves. It wasn't necessarily the great defense or the pressure that Duke was putting on them. They just simply made some bad judgments, some bad errors. And I guess if you're looking for good news heading into two Big Ten games, those are things that are fixable. Those are things that are controllable. And what a time to work on some of those things with two Big Ten games in early December coming up next for this IU team.
You're right, Matt. And another thing to consider is moving forward, there's it's unlikely that IU is going to play in a tougher environment than Cameron Indoor Stadium against a better team than Duke the rest of the regular season. So you could maybe say that it just gets easier from here. But you're right. The turnovers in the first half, I think Duke outscored Indiana 19-0 in points off of turnovers in the first half. You're not only not going to beat Duke playing that way, you're not going to beat very many even decent teams doing that. And a lot of the mistakes were stuff that you'd see out of a middle school team, just kind of throwing the ball at people's feet, not making a bounce pass when you needed to make a bounce pass, just a lot of small fundamental errors that really frustrate fans as they watch it. But as you mentioned, these are things that can be corrected and need to be corrected, because if Indiana continues to turn the ball over at the rate that it has been, the losses could really start to pile up. And what we've got coming up in terms of games, Northwestern and Penn State, those are games that Indiana will probably be favored in to win, but no sure things. I don't think this year in the Big Ten, almost every team now, with the exception of Rutgers, who's just outside the top 100, but every other Big Ten team right now ranked in the top 100 of the KenPom ratings. And then Indiana's got Louisville and Butler coming up, and Butler just had a really nice win over Florida. Louisville just beat Michigan State. And so Indiana, you know, this has been a tough month, I feel like, from the injury standpoint. But no excuses coming out of the mouth of the coaching staff. And they know they need to get better. And we'll see on Saturday what improvements they've made coming out of the Duke game.
Alex, I've read two or three reports where people have, I don't know if that attack is the right word, but certainly made disparaging comments about Justin Smith in particular, about the word coming out all summer was that he had improved, was explosive, and so on. Fair or unfair to go on the attack this early in the season, not just about him, but about him and others on that team?
I mean, I don't have a problem with criticizing anybody or critiquing how they play as long as you don't make it personal. You have to remember that these kids are for the most part, I would say, working hard and want to get better and want to improve. And as much as it might bother fans who get frustrated, I would sure it's hurting the guys who maybe aren't playing as well even more because they obviously want to go out and play well and be successful. With Justin Smith specifically, what I see right now is a player who doesn't have a ton of confidence right now. He's turning the ball over carelessly and just not attacking the rim with kind of the I don't know if it's a mindset or just how, you know, how he's, I don't want to call it soft, but he's not going hard enough to the rim and finishing plays. A player with his athleticism, with his size, his ability, shouldn't be having some of the problems that he is. And so we'll see how he responds here. It's definitely been a disappointing start to the season for him, but you know, it's seven games. There's 31 total games. We're not even a quarter of the way through the regular season, and we'll see just kind of how he's able to bounce back from this. You know, if he doesn't start playing better soon, I think he's at a pretty big risk of starting to lose some minutes. I mean, the Arkansas game, he barely played in the second half. I think the Duke game, he only played maybe 4 or 5 minutes in the second half. And so you only get so long to kind of, you know, prove yourself. And, you know, if you're not playing at the level that you need to, you're going to have other guys start to eat into your minutes. And I'm sure Justin Smith's aware of that. But no question, it's been a tough start to the season for him, and we'll see how it goes moving forward.
Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall, presented by CC Power Sports. I think one good thing we know heading into these two Big Ten Conference matchups is that Zach McRoberts back, Devontae Green back. Obviously, they need some practice time. They need to get back in game shape, to say. But depth is going to be something that, if Indiana can get everybody or most everybody healthy and active on the roster, that I think can help this team. And with two conference games coming, you've got the opportunity to potentially jump out to two wins in the conference before you get into the new year, which is a big advantage for any team that's able to get those two early wins in these early games. Devontae Green, Zach McRoberts, you think those guys are nearing full strength, or are they just beginning their return to the team? And I guess depth now maybe can be something we start to talk about again over the next week, 2 weeks, if Indiana returns its roster, other than Jerome Hunter, we think potentially could be back on the floor and playing.
Yeah, I mean, those guys are obviously healthy enough to play. I don't necessarily think their legs are completely underneath them. Anytime you miss a couple weeks, there's going to be a kind of ramping back up period. Not necessarily the best spot to get somebody back into the mix, throwing him into the fire at Duke, but we talked about this a little bit the other day, Matt, on the, you know, the pregame for the Duke show or the Duke game when we talked on Tuesday. You know, you don't go into the Duke game conceding a loss, but realistically, it's not a game Indiana's probably going to win. And so I think it was important to get those guys back in there because you need to have them ready to go this weekend and early next week when you play these two Big Ten games. And so I don't know kind of what to expect from either guy moving forward. I thought McRoberts did a couple good things. Devontae Green struggled with the shot against Duke, but Indiana definitely just needs them because they need more reliable production in terms of who they're bringing in off the bench. I mean, you can't consistently play six or seven players and not wear out your roster completely. And so I think having both of those guys helps from that perspective. But I think it's going to take them both some time to kind of get back into the flow. And there's not really a lot of time for them to do so just with this brutal stretch coming up. And so we'll see how they kind of integrate back into things. But definitely a boost just from a experience and depth perspective to get both of those guys back into the rotation now.
Alex, I've had an opportunity to watch a lot of the challenge games between the ACC and the Big Ten, and I've been pretty impressed with the Big Ten teams that I've had the opportunity to see this season. It's going to be a much tougher Big Ten than I really realized for 18-19.
Yeah, and it looks scarier, I think, if you're an Indiana fan, just because of how inconsistent Indiana's been so far. But you also have to remember a lot of times how a team looks in November is going to be a lot different than how they look later in the season. And I think with Indiana specifically, you look at this team and you say they haven't come anywhere close to playing to their potential. Now, will they ever meet their potential? That's a separate question and one that we won't know until the end of the year. But I think a lot of these teams who are playing well right now, with the exception of a handful who I think are going to continue to play, you know, teams like Iowa and Maryland, I have questions about how good they're going to be as the season goes along. They're two good examples of programs who have had hot starts in the past and then kind of faded. And you just have to remember, it's a really long season. I think there's going to be ebbs and flows. And, you know, I do agree with you that the Big Ten is deeper than we thought. But I just have questions beyond Michigan at the top of which teams are actually legit. It's all we have to go by so far is results of the games that have been played. But, you know, if Indiana hadn't lost that game against Arkansas and maybe had stayed healthy, we'd be talking about them in a completely different way. So it's important for people to remember that it's just late November here, a long, long way to go. I think Indiana needs to get through this stretch of four games. Then they're going to have, you know, those two final non-conference home games. And then I think they have a stretch of something like 12 days where they don't have a game. That could be a back-to-basics type of, you know, situation where they can kind of look at what they've done so far, look at the areas that they really need to hone in and work on and kind of get better at those things before conference play really ramps up. But, you know, I think Indiana's going to take some losses here coming up potentially, but, you know, you always want to have a situation where you're getting better and peaking at the right time and later in the season. It's much better to kind of discover your issues at this time of year and get better at them as you go along than to be playing your best basketball in November or December.
Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall. This segment is presented by CC Power Sports. Kind of adding on to what Lee asked about the Big Ten Conference for a moment, Michigan last night, I was really looking forward to getting back to see that game. I thought it would be very competitive. It would not have surprised me at Michigan won in a fairly close game. I was shocked to see Michigan absolutely run away with that game, at least for a great portion of the game. They were in complete command. And I've got to think now that they are not just maybe a front runner in the Big Ten, but nationally in college basketball, they appear to have the offense and defense and things that it takes to be kind of a challenger to Final Four type team. And again, you mentioned the word scary when you think about the Big Ten this year for IU fans, thinking about how much more competitive it may be than what initially thought. I think Michigan has to be right there at the top. They were really good last night.
Yeah, and the thing with Michigan is they were always a team in the past that was built on offense and couldn't really stop anybody. But last year, they were a completely different team defensively. They had some changes in their assistant coaching staff last year, and they brought in an assistant coach who has really kind of rebuilt them defensively. They were great last year. I was curious to kind of see if it would continue into this year. And right now, they've got the best defense in the country. And you combine that with an offensive mind like John Beilein, and you've got a team that's capable, I think, on a given night of beating anybody in the league. They're unbeaten right now. They've got some young players who are capable of getting better. They've got obviously a veteran player in Charles Matthews, who is only a redshirt junior, but this is his fourth year of college basketball. He's kind of been through and seen a lot of different things. And Michigan's just they're a legit solid team. I picked them to win the league in the preseason. A lot of people thought that was crazy based on what they lost. But, you look at Beilein, you look at the defense, you look at just the fact that they've been remarkably consistent over the last 5 or 6 years in the conference. They've been to two national championship games since 2013, and I think they're definitely a legitimate threat to get back to the title game or the Final Four again this year.
We're talking with Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. Alex is with us on Thursdays, joining Lee and I to talk IU basketball here on the program. Looking ahead at the next couple games, obviously we've kind of already underscored why they are so important. They are these early season Big Ten games, and I don't care how many years we do this, this 20-game schedule, I assume it's here to stay. It is really hard for me to think about Big Ten games the first week and a half of December. I know it's year two of that, but it is different. Take a look at both of those Big Ten teams, Northwestern and Penn State. Neither is at the level of a Michigan, or neither has been a major surprise, like a couple Big Ten teams, such as Iowa, have been so far this season. But maybe a look at those teams and what you see as far as IU matching up with those guys here over the next week or so.
Yeah, Northwestern had a big halftime lead last night in Georgia Tech, and then I think they were up 20 at halftime and only ended up winning by 6 at home. They've got also a pretty bad neutral court loss. I believe it was to Fresno State. Could be wrong, but I think that was who they lost to earlier in the year. They've got the grad transfer Ryan Taylor from Evansville, who's a really good player. I think Vic Law is their best player, but they don't really have a great solution at point guard. They've lost, obviously, Bryant McIntosh and Scotty Lindsey from last year's team, and they're very much, I think, kind of in transition as a program. Not to say they're not a good team. I think they're currently in the top 50 in KenPom, definitely capable of beating teams in the Big Ten, but if you're Indiana and you have aspirations to be in the top half, top three or four of the Big Ten, this is the game you need to win on Saturday. Penn State's a little bit different in that, they're coming off a really good win over Virginia Tech at home. Virginia Tech, I think, was ranked 13th. Penn State, Lamar Stevens, their forward, he's a junior now, a guy that Indiana recruited really hard under Tom Crean and thought they were going to get. He's kind of taken that next step as a player. They lost Tony Carr off of last year's team, but they have a pretty nice stable of young guards that have kind of stepped in capably, and they're a team that plays tough. I mean, they won the NIT last year. I don't think they're ever going to be great just because the culture for basketball there doesn't demand that they are, but that's going to be a hard game for Indiana. Penn State's notoriously been tough to beat there. It's kind of a weird environment. I've been there once, and just not a lot of people in the arena, and it's kind of the exact opposite of Duke, where, there's a couple thousand people that show up, but the students are kind of right on top of the court and they can be loud. And, it's a game where there's not a ton of energy, and you kind of maybe as a player don't feel yourself completely pumped up going into it. So it can kind of be the inverse of Duke, where, you go in at Duke and maybe you're too amped up, where Penn State, you're just kind of like, wow, this is their crowd, and then all of a sudden they jump on you early on, and they're playing tough and going for every loose ball, and you're like, well, we got a fight on our hands here. So Indiana's going to have to be ready in that game. That's a game right now that KenPom's got them projected to lose, and so I think that's a 50-50 game. But this is just a pretty tough stretch coming up. I mean, Louisville just beat Michigan State, as I said. Butler just beat Florida. I mean, none of these games coming up are gimmies. Indiana's going to have to play well to win in all four of these games.
Alex, in watching that Northwestern game last night, they spent a great deal of time talking about the renovations to their arena. Did not realize they were doing that, but apparently Northwestern has decided to upgrade not only basketball, but basketball and football facilities. So are they moving to a point where they're going to be a very tough contender year in and year out, along with a lot of other teams in the Big Ten that apparently have spent some money, some time, up their coaching salaries and so on? Big Ten making a little bit of a change, at least as far as facilities and coaching salaries?
Yeah, it's an arms race. And if you take a year or two off and you're not getting better, you're going to get left behind. Indiana basketball, I think they've done a really good job just staying competitive in terms of what they're paying and the investment they put in to the sport. Maybe not the same case in football. When you look at what Purdue's now going to pay Jeff Brohm, and you look at what Tom Allen's making, it's just the commitment to the sport is completely different. I obviously don't cover football, but kind of follow things from afar, and it just seems like from an institutional perspective, Indiana not as honed in on, being great at football. And so that, I'm sure, is disappointing to many fans. But, yeah, I mean, you look around the league, and with the exception of maybe Rutgers, everyone seems to be trying to kind of make themselves better and trying to compete across the board in every sport. And so it's not just going to be a matter of showing up and, maybe upgrading a facility here and there. I mean, it's a complete arms race. And as I said, if you're not willing to invest in the key sports, you're going to get left behind.
Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall with us. Alex, I want to close with some recruiting stuff. The season finally gets here, and a lot of the recruiting fodder that kept us involved over the summer and over the offseason goes to the wayside just a bit with the team playing very consistently. But IU sent its entire staff basically out to watch Trace Jackson Davis and his Center Grove team play last weekend. They are obviously keeping the pressure on him to let him know that they want him very badly to be an Indiana Hoosier. I think that's clear to everyone, including Trace Jackson Davis. Some IU fans have said, hey, with the proximity there between Bloomington and Center Grove, why aren't they at every game? And we kind of addressed this, and I think a lot of fans learned a lot more about recruiting and some of the rules that go along with it, thanks to the Romeo Langford recruitment. But sending all those coaches out is a viewing, which means they are now limited, pretty much limited, in the number of times they can watch him through the end of the scholastic year, which is the high school sports season. So with that, IU making a stand in one of their first viewings of Trace Jackson Davis in the high school game, sending all the guys out, to all the coaches out to watch him up close and personal.
Yeah, that tells me they don't think this is going all the way to April. Otherwise, I think they would probably space things out a little bit better, and maybe see some other high-profile games. But, I mean, Trace showed up at the game against UC Davis, and then Indiana was there in full force for his game. And, I've continued to think that he's going to end up in Indiana. We'll see how that actually all plays out. But, I think him and Keon Brooks are definitely guys to keep an eye on right now over the next couple of months in terms of a decision. Obviously neither guy can sign at this point, but there's nothing stopping them from committing, and we'll see how both of those situations goes. You never know in recruiting how things are going to turn out, and things can change quickly and out of the blue. But I think I would expect Indiana to be aggressive with both of those guys here, with I don't think a decision being too far off for either one.
Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall, presented by CC Power Sports. Alex, as always, thanks for the chat. Don't forget, you can stop in to CC Power Sports with locations in Clarksville and across the river in southern Jefferson County for parts, vehicle sales, and all servicing needs for street and off-road motorcycles, side-by-sides, ATVs, and personal watercraft. Thanks for the chat, Alex. We'll talk with you again next week. A lot of basketball coming at a fast and furious pace, and appreciate your insight.
All right, guys. Have a good day. Thank you.
All right. Still ahead. Much more coming your way on this program. Stay with us for more. Lee Kelly and I have our first real high school basketball look. We've done this every year. Of course, last year we had the Romeo Madness to follow. This year, a little more spread out. A lot of things to take a look at. And we'll break down high school basketball, at least for the first week or so, in our first high school basketball update coming up in the final segment. Stay with us for that. It's a Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Thursday show. Lee Kelly is with me. Thursdays, we have the Southern Indiana Basketball Update segment. It's how we close the show each week. We got this idea a year ago to kind of summarize things. We know we were talking a lot about Romeo. We were talking a lot about some of the big games, and I didn't want to see some of the other good players in our area slip through the cracks, at least as far as our coverage goes. And so each week we may have a player, we might have a coach, but you can rest assured we're going to recap the week. We're going to have a player of the week. We're going to talk about some of the big matchups for the weekend ahead. Kind of a fun way, a couple days from the weekend, out from the weekend, to get you ready for what's ahead this weekend. And also to kind of review what's happened since last weekend as well. You know, a lot of Tuesday night games. There's a lot of weeknight games nowadays, it seems. And so we'll keep you posted on those. Our player of the week as well will kind of be a summarization of the top performance dating back through the last week or so, basically from Thursday to Thursday, or really from Friday to Thursday, I guess you could say, if you look at Friday starting the high school basketball week. So we'll have fun with this, and we'll include a lot of different names, a lot of different schools from the area, and to have some different guests to go along with this segment each week moving forward. Lee, let's take a look at some of the games this weekend involving our local Clark and Floyd County teams. Next weekend is when it really gets going as far as rivalry games, New Albany-Floyd Central, some other games of interest as well, but a pretty good slate Friday and a decent slate on Saturday of this week as well.
Absolutely, and we'll start off with Jeff down at Evansville-Bossy, two teams with lots of athletes, should be a whale of a ball game, and that will be our game of the week here on WXVW as well. An 8 o'clock tip-off time for that game. So one of the big ones is Jeff at Bossy. We'll follow that up with Floyd Central down at Castle, two good ball clubs. Austin's at Providence this week. Charlestown's at Scottsburg. Clarksville plays at Silver Creek. The Dragons have a double header this weekend. Clarksville on Friday night, and they'll be traveling to Jennings County on Saturday. Silver Creek, one of the top teams, if not the top team in the area. We'll be talking about them all year. Also, we have Henryville at Paoli, Lanesville at Borden, and New Washington at Rock Creek on Friday night.
Yeah, some good games. I'm looking forward to Bossy, Jeff, Red Devils go on the road. A lot of talent in that game. Two very similar teams. I think, Lee, we got our hands full trying to call that game and stat that game. That game will move very quickly up and down the floor. Bossy's been really good in 3A basketball. That should be a lot of fun. Floyd Central, they've won some early season games easy over Christian Academy in Clarksville. They won a huge game on the road against Lawrence North, which makes the Highlanders, in my eyes, for real. Now they'll go on the road against Castle. Castle has a Division I player that's committed to Clemson. This is another test for the Highlanders to find out they're for real. And I'm excited about the start of the Sean Smith time as head coach at Providence. Tough one to start with because as his team is trying to figure things out with his new thoughts and system, Austin comes in with a player that has been very, very capable, scoring, I think, 35 points one game, 38 points the next game. So a good look at some games Friday, and then Saturday I know we've got some games we'll be tracking as well.
Absolutely. New Albany's down at Evansville-Harrison. I don't know if there's any Duncans left down there to play or not. I watched part of Vermont's game the other night, and they're all at Vermont, I think. We've got New Washington at Christian Academy, Indiana. Rock Creek Academy's at Bullitt East in Kentucky. Salem's at Henryville, and the Silver Creek Dragons at Jennings County.
I tell you what, those Silver Creek sophomores, and they've got other players as well, but we had to kind of, if we get into Player of the Week here in a moment, we had to look at some of those guys. They had some double-doubles in their first games. I'm talking about Trey Kaufman and, of course, Cooper Jacoby. And they will be fun to watch this weekend as well. Clarksville will have their hands full with Silver Creek on Friday. And then the Dragons will take on a 4A opponent in Jennings County on Saturday as well. So two interesting games coming up for them. Silver Creek should have no problem, to be quite honest, with either opponent. And Christian Academy, New Washington, that's got the makings of a sectional game at some point. Those two teams play in the same 1A sectional. So it will be interesting to see what happens. Lee, we have some pretty good candidates for Player of the Week. We give that each Thursday here on the program. And I think you got to start with looking at, I mentioned the two Silver Creek sophomores, a couple other performances that kind of caught our eye this week, but I think we got to start off with a player, much the way this thing started a year ago, who likely could win this thing a number of times, a senior in the area that's expected to do some really big things, and his name is Kobe Barnes from Floyd Central.
Yeah, and this is Kobe's team. I mean, he's been around a lot of upperclassmen as he came up freshman, sophomore, junior year. He's been a big key part of that team. But this year, he's the returning guy. They graduated seven seniors, and so he has a lot on his shoulders. He's expected to run from the point part of the time. He's expected to rebound. He's expected to come up with the big baskets when they need them. And he's a young man that could very well be our next Indiana All-Star from this area. So he's off to a great start, 21 in one of the games that he had, and I think 15 in the other. Four-year starter. So Kobe Barnes, our star of the week for week number one in doing this for the 18-19 season.
Yeah, I think we'll have some different winners this year. I think we'll be able to spread it out. A lot of big performances so far in the season, and fun to watch. And Lee, we're a week away tomorrow from New Albany hosting Floyd Central. It's a big way to get the season started. Floyd Central's had a great start to the year. New Albany got a win without Julian Hunter over Bloomington South. They'll go on the road to Evansville to try to get win number two on Saturday. But it'll be a big one, and it's based on that crowd at the Bloomington South New Albany game to start the year, pretty close to being full, not all the way full. This should be a sellout, and you know we love sellouts on Friday nights in high school basketball. So get your tickets early for this one next Friday. I think even with Romeo gone, it'll be a great one, and it'll be a sellout, and it's just the way that some of these rivalry games in our area should be.
Well, I certainly miss Sean East and Romeo. Watching them play was fun for 4 years, but it's Indiana high school basketball, and it's just fun to watch and fun to follow and watch these young players progress as the year goes on.
Lee, thanks for being with me as always on Thursdays, and I look forward to our trip to Evansville on Friday. Lee and I will have the Jeffersonville at Ball C game Friday night here on the Big X. That's going to wrap things up for this Thursday show. I'll be back to close out the week, 11 o'clock tomorrow. You're listening to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.